May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in, increased and filled the world with sin. Hymn number 89.
Thank you. Let us continue to read, friends, in St. John's Gospel, chapter 2 and part of chapter 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 2 with part of chapter 3. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there three water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the best wine, the good wine, until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said these things unto them, And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Ainon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. We leave the word there, friends. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we would humbly venture to call upon thee. We hope, our God, we trust thou hast favoured us to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And so we venture once more tremblingly to call upon thee, Lord God. O Lord God of hosts, we would come with reverence. We beg we may be in godly fear, that we might come with sincerity of utterance, even now to confess all our sins before thee. Lord, thou knowest all about us. We do know, we do not need to tell thee our sad condition to inform thee, for thou dost see us through and through. But Lord, as thy dear apostle John was led to write those encouraging words, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Lord, we would have real confession. We would know real repentance like we've been singing of it. O Lord, we need thee to bring us there, to not make us know and feel godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation. Lord, we pray we might each of us solemnly confess and plead for mercy. For Jesus' sake, Lord, we thank thee for thy keeping grace that we hope has kept us in some measure. But Lord, we are aware of our folly. We know it so quickly comes. Our sinful thoughts, our heart sins. Lord, thou knowest we have these troubles. They are troubles to us. Lord, to our new heart, we are troubled. We carry this trouble. The fact is with us that we cannot cease from sin. Lord, we trust we are, as the hymn writer made clear, aware of our sad condition. Lord, we hope we're among those whom in the descriptive language of the hymn is so clear regarding them, they are by thy grace made to be sinners. Lord, sometimes it's set forth as thy people made to be sensible sinners. And Lord, we've sung a sinner as a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. We do hope we're among those so taught of the Spirit. Lord, we confess all our sins. We beg for mercy. Look in mercy on us, Lord. That we may know and feel the favour of thy merciful kindness. Thy loving kindnesses. Lord, we cast our burden upon thee, Lord. Thou knowest in those passages near to where we found our text this morning, dear, Peter the Apostle came to that point where he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, we would cast upon thee all our care. We would confess all our sins. Lord, we come now for this. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive, Lord. We do believe in thee, our Lord, thy forgiving love, thy love and mercy, thy kindness, Lord, thy mercy, thy love to sinners. Yeah, we sung and believe it, Lord. Oh, that truth. Oh, that blessed truth at the close of the hymn. Sinners are high in his esteem. Oh, may we meditate on that. And sinners highly value him. We hope we're in the secret of that, which is truth. Lord, we believe it. We humbly hope we're in the secret of it. We pray for help now, Lord. Thou knowest we do feel much need of it, of that help from thyself. Oh, Lord, do come tonight. We do feel led to consider part of thy word, Lord, thou knowest, and with our friends here. Lord, they are our friends. In thy holy name we feel them as such. Lord, we esteem them highly in love, in the bond of the gospel. And we pray for souls. Oh, Lord, that there was so work. Oh, we know it is so vitally important we all possess a never-dying soul, each one of us. Lord, may the dear young people lay this to heart, this truth, that they possess a never-dying soul. We each do. Lord, we are concerned for them. We are concerned for every one of them. And Lord, that if it could be thy holy will, there would so work in them. We know and believe thou art working in those here, whom are thy people manifested as such. Lord, thou knowest thine own. And we also know thou dost know thy dead elect. And Lord, we pray thou wilt quicken souls into life. Bring them forth from the womb of the covenant, Lord. And knowest how we've been reading concerning thy own holy words to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Lord, we do pray that as it was even so with Nicodemus, we believe it was, that he was born again. This was manifest later on when he went to beg the body of the Lord Jesus. Lord, oh, he was a secret disciple for the most part with Joseph of Arimathea. But Lord, thou knowest he did do. He was enabled to do what thou had appointed him to do at that time. We believe the witness of real religion is in that. Born of the Spirit, born from above. Oh, we humbly hope, Lord, we are in this secret. Oh, we pray that our friends may know and be assured tonight they're in this secret. Born from above, born of the Spirit, born again. Lord, thou knowest how it's laid in our heart to consider tonight. Oh, born not of the will of the flesh, and not of man, but of God. Not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. Oh, Lord, do come tonight and favour souls that they might have the exercise to want to know, to need to know, to be earnest to know that they are born and born of God and that their treasure is above. This is the important reality, Lord. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And Lord, oh, we pray that this may be the reality of our exercise tonight. To know thy love, to know thy love to us, the power of it felt within, oh, the power of the Spirit, oh, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, Lord, we do pray that souls here tonight may know and feel assured under thy favour that they are in the secret, thy wonderful love and grace. Lord, this is what we're concerned for, that souls may be blessed, souls may be fed, souls may be edified and built up in their most holy faith. Oh, Lord, help this poor preacher to lift thee very high. Oh, if the Son of Man be lifted up, He will draw all men unto him. Oh, we would lift thee up, Lord. We pray that they will give us the enabling. Oh, give us the strengthening. Oh, the faith we need in exercise, that we may testify of thee, not be ashamed to own our Lord, or to defend his cause, but to lift thee up on the gospel pole. Oh, Lord, and may that wonderful drawing of thy holy love, that wonderful power of it, be felt tonight. Oh, do draw sinners, Lord. Oh, we know, as we have spoken this afternoon, relating to thee, O Holy Father. Oh, it is thy power, O Holy Father, that draws sinners unto Christ. So fallen is nature, such a flaw. None come except the Father draw. We believe the truth of that theme, Lord. And Lord, we trust thou hast burned it in our hearts. Oh, we pray, dear Holy Father, we plead with thee through Jesus, thy dear Son, that thou wilt show work tonight by thy divine power, and draw sinners unto Christ, thy dear beloved Son. Oh, that they might know that wonderful love of Christ. Oh, that wonderful favour of believing. Oh, those that believe on his name. Oh, Lord, we pray for this. We're exercised for this, Lord. Under thy favour, thy grace, thy will, we believe. We are exercised for this. Lord, I will stand in awe. Bow before thee. Oh, use me in thy holy name. May thou have all the glory, not unto us. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy, for his mercy and his truth, say, Lord, oh, help us then. Lord, we have our difficulties, our trials, our sadnesses, our griefs, even relating to other things, apart from the things of our state and condition, spiritually, the old archenemy fears our old nature, a trouble to us. We've got other troubles too. We've got those things that cause us much anxiety relating to family matters. Lord, thou knowest all about them. We cast all our care upon thee, Lord. We pray for our loved ones. Oh, that thou wouldst deal with them in love and mercy, if it could be thy holy will. Oh, that thou wouldst work where it's needed, Lord, and thou wouldst, if thou hast begun, deepen the work in them. We feel with some it's needed. Lord, thou knowest what is needed. We would not dictate to thee. Oh, we would cast this care upon thee. Oh, Lord, hear us. Fill them, Lord. And those that are still in the darkness of nature, nothing but thy grace can save them. Oh, they need that quickening grace that we are concerned to consider too. They might be born of the Spirit, if it be thy will. Oh, Lord, we carry souls. They are a great weight and burden to us. Lord, thou hast given us to know that accountability to thee, to carry souls according to thy will. And so, Lord, help us each. Oh, each of thy servants, Lord, and the dear friends who are exercised, we know the dear deacons here are. They carry souls, they're burdened for souls, burdened for thy cause and interest here. We know it, Lord, we witness it. Thou art helping them, Lord, thou art wonderfully helping them. But thou knowest all matters, Lord. Thou knowest everything, every detail of all matters relating to any of thy people, Lord, the gatherings of thy people, the little hills of Zion. Thou knowest our things in our own little cause. Thou knowest things here. Thou knowest every detail. Oh, Lord, save us from the will of man. Save us from the fear of man. Oh, we want to be solely spiritually exercised. Oh, to cast all our care upon thee, to look to thee for light, to look to thee for leading, guiding. Lord, to look to thee for everything. Oh, it's nothing but thee, Lord, and thy will that we really desire and seek in our right mind. Save us from our old strong will and nature. Subdue it, keep it down. May grace reign. Oh, Lord, we beg for this. Oh, how much we need it. Oh, the sacredness of what we sung this afternoon, Lord, sovereign grace, or sin abounding. Oh, to know this wonderful favour of grace abounding. Where sin hath abounded, grace did much more abound. Lord, oh, thou knowest all our need in these respects, and all the things of our daily lives are known to thee. How much we need thy keeping, Lord. Need to keep the door of our lips and keep our full minds. Oh, Lord, help us each in all these things. Lord, we specially pray for the dear young people. Oh, that thou would give them to be concerned, to know their need of thee, their need of thy grace. Lord, they're living in a terrible world. Their lot is cast in it, Lord. It's thy will in that respect. Lord, these terrible days, solemn days, awful days, oh Lord, do keep them from the evil, Lord. Oh, may they not go far away from thy people, Lord. Some want to get away. Oh, would go their own way. Lord, we can understand that. But oh, how treacherous, oh, how dangerous, Lord, it is. And yet, Lord, too, we know that those that may abide fast in the among the people of God, they need grace. But, Lord, we know the danger of having a dead religion. Lord, we do pray none may be left with a dead religion. Lord, oh, what so much needed is thy quickening grace, thy grace to appear, thy work to appear unto thy servants, thy glory to their children. Oh, Lord, we look for this. We long for this. We pray for it. Lord, oh, may it be wonderfully manifest here. Lord, thou knowest this people, and thou knowest all about them. Thou knowest how we felt strongly led this morning to pray that they might have an under-shepherd. Lord, thou knowest all about it. It's all in thy will what thou wilt do. Lord, as we have read in that record of that time at the marriage of in Cana of Galilee, how, Lord, thy dear mother was led to say that he knew what he would do. Oh, in that way, as we believe it is, whether exactly like that, we would not stumble at thy word, Lord, but the statement of thy word. He knew what he would do. You know, his our dear friend reminds us of that. Oh, as it was so with him many years ago. Lord, in another cause where we go, he knew what he would do. And Lord, some in their experiences have the witness of this, where they were in things and brought through things. He knew what he would do. Lord, may we ponder this tonight, that thou dost know what thou wilt do, even for thy cause and interest here. And we do hope, as we carry and exercise for them, for their good, for their maintaining, for their good, in that thou wilt ever supply them here in the ministry of the word, and if it could be thy will, through a dear under-shepherd. Lord, thou knowest we carry this for them. Lord, not at all meaning anything regarding ourselves. We're far stationing on, getting older, feeling weak, feeling insufficient. But Lord, thou knowest thy will concerning this here. Oh, that thou wilt raise up one. Oh, if it be thy will here and manifest who thou hast appointed for this work. Oh, Lord, to care for them as part of thy family. Lord, be with them. So, Lord, be with us each, and be with all thy people, Lord. We pray for those that are afflicted and weak. And Lord, we think of one and another in different parts. And we pray for those that mourn. The dear pastor coming from Tenderden is engaged in the week here. Pray for him, especially in the respect that he has sorrow in his own cause of the loss of a dear godly member. Lord, thou knowest it is a loss, and the dear people feel it, especially her dear husband and family. We do remember them, Lord. Thou knowest their close bond to them, their love to them, that thou hast brought, thou hast made. Lord, we do remember them. Oh, may thy servant be wonderfully helped to come here to preach to the friends here. We acknowledge thy good help, great help to him in taking the funeral. Lord, oh, thou knowest our love to him. And so, Lord, we pray for all thy little hills of Zion and all thy people, and many we do not know, Lord, in the Church of God, the one church in the wilderness. Lord, we would pray for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Oh, Lord, we pray thou wilt remember them. And Lord, we pray believing that thou wilt remember them. We pray with faith believing it. And Lord, this is a sweet and blessed confidence. A confidence that's strong. Oh, Lord, and with the fear of the Lord, an unctuous light to all that's right, but all that's wrong. Oh, hear us in heaven. Thy dwelling place, dear Lord, when thou hearest, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, in the verses 11, 12 and 13. St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The friends who were present, most of you this morning, know how we had that word given us in the early hours of this morning. That word that we brought before you this morning, which we had thought as coming along that we may preach from that word tonight and this word this morning. But as our dear friend, who is God's servant in the diaconate, had the hymn which was so confirming to the word that we had in that way, we felt so led powerfully, it must be that we must preach from that word. We preach from this morning, which is in Peter's first epistle, the fourth chapter, where we read, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now I know I totally failed to preach really fully that. We could never preach fully that text. But the Lord knows how he's led me. And to come tonight, to bring before you these words, "He came unto his own. His own received him not." I believe there were things done here this morning, friends, and may God have all the glory. I believe there were things whereby the Lord used his word, applied his word, for the good of souls here, maybe one or more than one. But oh, tonight I also believe that our great God can use his word and apply his word and bless souls as we are, maybe as we beg for help, we may be helped to consider these things tonight. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Friends, this is a record. This is a word which is in the past tense, and it could be considered, and any person left to a natural understanding of it would just be thinking of people alive on the earth at the time of the coming of the Lord. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own Jewish nation, Jewish people, and his own received him not. For the most part, the Jews have not received their Messiah. There were a few that did. But how solemnly sad it is that so many of the Jews have not acknowledged the Holy Son of God as the Messiah. It came unto his own. His own received it in that respect, literally. His own received him not. But as many as received him, there were those that received him in that way, as the Lord was been working in them. They were looking for his coming. Think of Simeon. Think of others, the wise men. They were looking for his coming. They received him. They came to him. They fell down and worshipped him. Oh, Simeon held the dear Holy Son of God in his arms. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen my salvation. There were those that received him, and it was to them he gave power to become the sons of God. But this is in the way we read it, as we could naturally think of it, literally think of it. But tonight it's upon my spirit, friends, that we should consider this word as it must be considered. If we are God's people, is relating to us. He came unto his own. Souls who in the will of God were found with their names written in heaven, even if you consider relating to you and to me, if we are favoured to be raised near to a hope that God loves us, that he's chosen us ere time began, in that sense, we were, even when we were born naturally, we were God's own people. We didn't know it. You didn't know it. I didn't know it. We wasn't looking for it. We wasn't concerned about it. Dead in trespasses and sins, but in the will of God, his own chosen people. That's amazing. Oh, it's a great matter, great point, an amazing wonder that he came unto his own. We didn't receive him. You didn't want to know about him. Some of you young people, you're here tonight. Is it with you that you don't want to know about the Lord Jesus? You don't want to have an interest in him. You know how I spoke to you this morning, solemnly and relating to that word, it seems to have a dread with it, that to the natural mind, I mean, that word of the Apostle Peter regarding the fire, the trial of faith, and the fiery trial which is to try you. It was remarkable to me, friends, as I spoke to you young people, in a way to try to help you to consider and to lead you, if the Lord used it, that you might not be discouraged or troubled at the word we were considering. Now, I don't think your dear deacon will mind, but he told me, dear Mr. Baker, told me how years ago that scripture was such a, as it were, a dread to him. Didn't want to read it because it was appearing to him. This, of course, was long before his affliction. You know, it has been to some. As I was, I hope, a little help to speak it to you. You know, such a scripture regarding the trial of faith for a young soul may be very troubling, cause you to be, as it were, thinking, well, if that's the path of the people of God, I don't want that. But let me tell you, the other side, if you're not in the secret of these things of God's grace, you're going to be lost forever. You're going to be cast into hell. You're going to be in everlasting burnings. We were considering this morning that fiery trial which God uses to burn up the dross, all that is not profitable for the people of God, to so deal with them and sanctify them and make them what they must be made by God, to strip them of idols and so on, to make them know the favour of being in the secret of his great salvation. Oh, this is the wonderful gospel. How souls are prepared for heaven. How that when they die, they are made ready for eternity to go through the gates of death and before the judgment throne of God, to be prepared for it. To be prepared for that great day by being washed in the blood of Christ and clothed in his righteousness. This is what I want to be led towards and to bring out tonight. This great favour of being made one of the sons of God. These people This is what you need, I need, to know that we are by God made, given power by God to become the sons of God. We've not got it in nature, nothing at all of it. We're lost, we're ruined in the fall. And if you may think tonight, you dear young people, I don't want these things. You know, if you don't know these things, if you never know nor taste God's grace, you'll be found lost at last, cast away into hell by God. To know that everlasting burning of pain and woe and anguish, oh, think of how it's described in that parable relating to the rich man Lazarus. Oh, what great pain and affliction he was in. Oh, and how he cried that there might be those that would warn his loved ones concerning it, whilst they're still in time, that they might not be found in that torment forever at last. He came unto his own. His own received him not. The way I want to lead you to consider it tonight is this. God's grace. God's sovereign grace. He came unto his own received him not. That's just how we are by nature. Just how you and I, every one of us, are by nature. I will not have this man to reign over me. You might be religious. If you're religious and think you are a child of God in a wrong way, a natural way, you know what you've got is a natural religion, a dead religion. You know, we're all under the heading of either one or the other. We're all, as it were, aliens and not in the secret by nature. You might think you are through promoting and encouraging in yourself a dead religion, but that won't save you. You'll still be lost at last. But if God loves you, he will begin to work in you. And this is what we witness, I hope, through what we have experienced ourselves, that God took us in hand. Oh, he came unto his own. In the way he came was this, in our experience. He was preached in the chapel where we attended regularly. Like he's preached in this chapel that you attend regularly. You young people been brought up to attend here. The Lord Jesus Christ is preached. The gospel is preached. Faithfully and in love. I'm sure of that. As I hope I preach it tonight in my poor way. But oh, is it with you? You don't receive. It's brought to you. It's set before you. But oh, if you do not receive it. But you still could be. And I humbly hope you are. One of God's people. God has got yet to work in you, to begin in you. You know, if you consider it closely, rightly, solemnly, as I've warned you, you know, if you are brought, as you will, begin to long to know it, if God begins to teach you, you will begin to know your need. If God quickens you into life, you're born of the Spirit, you'll know your need of mercy. The Lord will use means to teach you. He'll convict you of your sins, convince you. He'll make you know your guilt. He'll make you know you're a sinner like we've been singing. All those things of those hymns we've been singing. The truth in them. I love it, friends, because I hope I know it. But you know who it was with Adam. When he, by transgression, vowed, he ruined all his future rights. Oh, God will teach you that. It will not be just singing it and thinking you know about it. You really will know it. You really will know what it is to be a sinner whom the Holy Ghost has made you so. If God loves you, if he begins to work in you, you will know it. You'll know what it is to be a sinner. And a sinner is a sacred thing the Holy Ghost has made him so. What a wonderful favour it is. Though it is very solemn in the first knowledge and experience of it, but it's a wonderful thing as I look back to it now, when God began to make me feel solemnly my sinnership, made me feel my woe, made me feel my solemn, sad state before God, a holy God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to me now as I look back on it. But what a solemn thing it was then, when we were made to really feel our guilt. Do you feel your guilt tonight? Do you feel your sin? Are your sins solemn to you? Do you know your sins will destroy you forever unless they're atoned for? Oh, this is the importance of these things. And so hear this first of the verses. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, you know, as it's a statement of record, also to be considered as a statement relating to souls today, I believe this in it. He came unto his own received him not. That doesn't alter. That could never alter the eternal decree of God, the eternal love of God. And you know, for those souls who God does love, this can be read and understood. He came unto his own received him not. That's how I was when I was dead in trespasses and sins. Some of you here tonight, you can look at it like this and understand it like this. He came unto his own, and in actual fact, you humbly hope now you are one of God's children. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It'll fill you with shame. It will make you feel such shame that you had not got any interest in the dear Son of God, didn't feel your need of him. He came unto his own. His own received him not. This is what was such a blessing to our dear late friend who I mentioned this morning. He was so affected by it that he knew that the Lord came and the Lord was preached, the truth was preached, but he didn't feel any need of it. He didn't feel any respect to it. And he didn't receive it. But oh, it was in God's will that in God's time, he would be made to receive it, made to need a Saviour, made to need mercy by God's sovereign grace. This is what is here, friends. He came unto his own received him not. But then we have this following verse, but as many as received him. Now, are you one of those? Are you now, by God's grace, one of these favoured characters who receive the preaching of the gospel, who receive Christ by faith? That's the power. That's a wonderful, vital, important part of the power God gives. He gives faith to a sinner to believe in Christ. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him. Now this will depend upon how much at the time you will reflect upon, some of you, and you young ones here, if God's teaching you, you'll know if you're in it or not. Are you one of these who needs the Saviour? Needs salvation? Well, this is descriptive of how you are, I believe, if you really need salvation. If you really are a sinner, like it has been descriptively set forth in the hymns, a sinner is a sacred thing, the Holy Ghost has made him so. Sinners are high in his esteem, sinners highly value him. This is how it is, I believe, in this truth. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him. Now there's a reason, there's a substance of reason and need in this. That they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They need him so much. He's made by the teaching of the Spirit so precious to these souls. Can some of you go back to that time when he was begun to be by the Spirit made so precious to you? Because God was convicting you and convincing you of your sin. He was making you feel your woe. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? That's how the lead into it. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. But he made you feel your woe. It made you feel your guilt. The reality of real religion, this is the witness of the reality of real religion. He did make you feel your guilt. He did make you feel your low. He did make you know your need. Oh, the love and mercy of God, the power of God. Oh, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What does this mean? To become those who believe in Christ. They're the sons of God. Sons of God by blessed adoption. Oh, the Holy Father adopting them as his own, giving his dear son, his dear holy son, as the elder brother of the church. We read of that brother that is born for adversity. Oh, this is how the Lord is made to you, to be to you. Oh, is all your hope, all your hope is in him. He's made so precious to you. You can go back, some of you, to when the reality of this was known, and you know it now and feel it now more and more as the Lord goes on to teach you. As many as received him. Now, the touchstone of this, as many as received him, it's absolutely grounded on sovereign grace. We would never receive him ourselves. But by grace he's made so precious, so needful. What a precious, needful thing is our Lord and Saviour. Yes, he is. By grace he's made this. And you receive him. You would gladly receive him, and in your best room gladly receive him, but fear to presume. As many as received him. But if you consider it like that, there's that fear of presumption. You receive him. Your only hope is in him. You've got no other refuge. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. The Lord is so precious, precious to you in the want of him, in the need of him. And then as the Lord goes on to bless precious, as he gives you tokens and favours you to begin to believe, he is your Saviour. He is your Lord, your life, your all. Oh, how wonderful this is. Oh, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him. And the secret of this is, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, no help in self, no power in self, nothing in us, nothing in me to merit God's esteem, or give God the creator delight. But God's wonderful free mercy and grace, it gives to these helpless souls power to become the sons of God. He actually adopts them as his own, takes them in. But in their the favour they must know and taste of it, and know it, is he gives them power to become the sons of God. They can by grace begin to believe and to hang all their hope upon Christ. Oh, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now this, of course, is at a particular time in a person's experience. And of course here it's generalised regarding many of God's people. But you will know it individually, personally. He gives his people power to become the sons of God. He regenerates them, makes them anew. Oh, like we've been reading, you must be born again. And he did do that. He did bring forth dear Nicodemus from the womb of the covenant and made him manifest as his. He gave him power to become the sons of God. It wasn't manifest when Nicodemus was questioning, but the effect of what the Lord said to him in power was to make him consider, and it's manifest later as he is manifest as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The Lord gave him power to become one of the sons of God. Oh, it's grace absolute. It's God giving the will, the power, oh, the exercise, the faith needed for a sinner to believe and to become one of the sons of God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, this is very important, very wonderful, amazing. This is that he gives you power to become one of his sons or daughters. Them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, friends, everything we know of real religion is by power, by God giving power, God giving grace, God giving that life first from the dead. We're quickened into life, born of the Spirit. He gives faith to those he loves to enable them to believe. Faith actually in the earliest days to know and believe and solemnly confess we're sinners. We've got no power for that by nature. But God's will is that we shall be convinced, convicted and convinced of sin. He gives power for that, for a sinner to know it and believe. It affects them. It gives that understanding. It gives the knowledge of the holy, which is understanding. All by power, the power of the Spirit. And he gives the sinner to know their case, know their condition, know their need. Oh, he gives them power to become. And in this, giving them these graces, giving light, giving grace, giving faith, God is giving them all they need. That they are, by his grace, grace absolute, they are brought to be by grace the sons of God, born from above. Oh, become by grace the sons of God. Yes, this is the reality of being brought into the secret of God's wonderful grace. To them gave he power. These souls will ever acknowledge their absolute helplessness, their absolute inability to do anything for themselves, but God gives them the power to become the sons of God. It's much centred in the great favour of becoming a true believer. You know, we sing it, don't we? A wounded soul and not whole becomes a true believer. It gives them power to become the sons of God. This is a reality of what this truth states, and God's people know it by experience. They become the sons of God. Now, if you're one who you God's favoured you so that you humbly hope you are a son or a daughter of God, oh, how favoured you are. Oh, how wonderfully favoured you are. He gave them power to become the sons of God. You'll ever so much reflect upon how God did it for you, what he's done for you. And you know, this is what the following verse goes on to acknowledge. These souls that become by grace the sons of God, they're acknowledged like this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, what a wonderfully clear acknowledgement this is of what God does, what God has done, the wonders God alone can do for a sinner. Oh, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Have you got this witness in you? This is how you have been born. I mean, and really, the word means born again. You've been born again, not of blood. That's got nothing to do with it, blood relationship. You know, it's wonderful in some families, and God's word is very wonderful as we read it. It'll bring to Zion two of a family, one of a city. You see, that's how it's put. Two of a family, one of a city. Naturally, we would think one of a family, two of a city. But God's will is set forth there. It's what God's will is. He'll bring them unto Zion with their faces thitherward. He'll deal with them. He'll teach them. He'll save them by his grace. Those according to his will, however many they are, whatever number they are in any time, any decade of time, or any dispensation of time, he'll bring them unto Zion. One of a family, you may say, well, no. Two of a family, one of a city. Well, it's all according to the will of God. We can't state the numbers. We don't know who they are. God knows them. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But what about you and me individually, as he brought us to Zion, as he worked in us, as he began? Are we born? We're born, yes, naturally, but are we born again? Are we born of the Spirit? This is what is so vitally important. Oh, what a favour if you can say, born I am, and born of God. This is what the word here really emphasises, which we're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, it's very separating, because godly parents would, if they could, give grace to their children. But godly parents know they cannot give grace to their children. Oh, they are concerned for them and pray for them and carry the weight and burden of their souls. But they cannot give them grace. Oh, it's God, what is God's will? It's the prayer of godly parents to pray for their children, like I would humbly acknowledge I have to do every day, to commit them unto the Lord, to cast them upon him, to pray for them, if it be his will, to save them by his grace, to save them from sin and death and hell. Oh, this is our concern, because we know. And your parents know, some of you young people, can you consider it like this? Your parents know the seriousness, the solemnity of time and eternity and the judgment day. And we've got a never dying soul. We must go to either to heaven or hell according to the will of God. Oh, we are concerned for souls. We carry the weight and burden of souls. I know, as I said today, dear people here do, dear mothers and fathers here do, your dear deacons do, and the dear ministers do, the dear ministers who come to you do. We come preaching the word of God in love and faithfulness because we're concerned for your soul, that God would deal with you and teach you and save you by his grace, if it be his holy will. But oh, how solemn if not. If not, left then and prove at last to be a castaway. Oh, what a solemn thing that is. Oh, we tremble to say it, tremble to acknowledge it. But oh, if my soul was sent to hell, this is what God will teach you under his power. If my soul was sent to hell, his righteous law approves it well. You'll know the truth like that, burned in your heart. But you'll know that God has a way and purpose to save all those he loves. And what a favour when he gives you that light to know and believe he loves you. Oh, the power, friends, of the love of God. Oh, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Friends, it's important. Time so fast goes, but it's important that we should know, and we hope we do know, some of us, God's wonderful love is such a power to affect us. It's God's love known in us, felt within. It's such a power to cause us to love our God in return. This is how we become the sons of God, those children of God who love the Lord with mind and heart, his people in his ways. It's the power of his love that kindles love in us. Love him in return. We love him because he first loved us. You know, John in his epistle, he takes it up. He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, this power of God's love will affect those God loves. and cause them to love God in return. Oh, this way they're the sons of God who love their Heavenly Father, sons of God who love their dear Saviour, their dear elder brother who suffered in their stead, sons of God who love the dear Holy Spirit, the blessed operation and influence, teaching, exercise of the Spirit that is the wonderful power and moving power to cause sinners to be concerned and consider and to pray and to gain access to God. Oh, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are Spirit, they are life, and they're words of power, friends. He gave them power to become the sons of God. To become the sons of God are exercised, who by God's grace practice what they know. They live in the fear of God. They follow the Lord, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These sons of God by blessed adoption, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted to succour every burden tempted son. He gave them power to become the sons of God. They might ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. They might so live by faith upon the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. Oh, he gave them power. Do you know these things, friends? I know my remarks are rambling and poor, but do you know these things in the favour of them in your soul? Are you favoured with this? The reality of this. God gives you power. He gave you initially power to become one of the sons of God, and he gives you power from time to time as he works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, to enable you to follow Christ, to live under him, to trust him, to look to him, to look to Jesus, kind of strong pity joined with power. It's all as God gives you power to become one of his sons, one of his sons bought with a price. Oh, what a favour. He gave them power to become the sons of God, and these sons of God, they are led to consider and to stand in wonder at what he's done for them when they have a view of their Lord suffering in their place. As they have a view by faith, they go by faith to Calvary and see their Lord there suffering in their place. Oh, these sons of God, they eye the Saviour. They view him by faith. They see him, see his lovely face. Oh, they look upon him whom they pierce, mourn for him who as one mourneth for his only son. Yes, they do. You know it. Some of you know it. Some of you have got these things in experience. You know it. God's done it for you. He's given you power to become one of the sons of God. How amazing God's favour. How wondrous his grace to you. Even for you, even for wild wretch as I, you will say, he's done this for me. He's given me power to become one of the sons of God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. And yes, I do reflect much upon how it is all of grace. It's not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. Oh, it's of God's grace. It's of God. It's all God's grace. It's all what God's done. You know, you'll become then really, truly self-renouncing, grace-admiring. You're made unto salvation wise. Them gave you power. As I said, friends, we could read this word in the way it's set, in the record of it, the history of it in a sense, but the record of it. But you know, it can be known, it will be known personally by the dear children of God, the dear sons and daughters of the Most High God. They know this favour. You know, if you consider it on the opposite side, as it were, when we're feeling nothing of the power of God's grace in us, oh, what a loss we are at. Oh, how weak we are. How poor we are. How cast down we are.
how far off we feel to be. But there are those times, and I believe the dear godly here will acknowledge it with this poor preacher. There are those times, and this is the witness of the reality of real religion. There are those times when our God does give us power that we do know and feel assured we are the children of God. We can then rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul was very clear in acknowledging it to the Philippians. He said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The Lord's teaching you these things. You are a blessed character. You're one of the sons of God, one of the children of God. Oh, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But friends, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I would not want to miss that part. This great favour of believing on his name. That's our exercise, we hope, and I hope I can say, as I have known it day by day. We know there's seasons, there's changes, many changes we know, but we believe on his name. We believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope we can acknowledge we believe to the saving of our souls. It's sovereign grace. Sovereign grace or sin abounding. That's it. And oh, his love. His amazing love to us. Oh, the wonder of it. That he should love us so well. That he should lay down his life to redeem us from hell. We love our Lord. Oh, if we are under this power, we love him with mind and heart, his people and his ways. I believe it is by this power, friends, I come before you and feel love to you. And I know it is reciprocal, as I feel it with one and another here. You know, we've got only grace and grace alone to acknowledge. It's all to the praise of God's grace. It's by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and most humbling it is indeed. We'll be humbled in the dust, stand in wonder of the favour of God. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the Oakington Friends hope to hold a prayer meeting on Friday morning. Let us close with part of hymn number 814, commencing at verse 8. The chief concern of fallen mankind should be to enjoy God's favour. What safety can a sinner find before he finds a saviour? Hymn 814, commencing at verse 8.
Thank you.
do cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss, Lord. Oh, we're conscious that all our preaching needs to be washed in thy holy blood. Oh, do plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. Oh, we would trust all our salvation in the blood. Oh, Lord, oh, we do beg we might know that wonderful favour, that voice that speaks for me in heaven's high courts for good. Be with the dear people here, Lord. I commend them to thee at the close of this year, as it were. Come with thy servants still. And oh, may thy grace, Lord Jesus, and the love of God our Father, the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us, now and evermore. Amen.